Good morning, West Cypress Church. Happy Father's Day to you all. Happy Man's Day. Happy having a Father's Day. Whatever it is, however you want to celebrate it, I'm here for it. Welcome to those that are joining us online, whether you're catching us live or later on in the week. We're glad you're here too. Grace and peace to you this morning, church. How was your week? Great, good, and woos. Good. I didn't hear any blasts, so that's good. We're going to be kicking off a series in summer all about the Lord's Prayer, and so we're going to be talking about that. And as we prepare to do that, I was thinking about the sermon this week and struggling, like, Lord, how do I start this out? What do I tell people with? Because Jesus is really going to teach us how to pray, a better way to pray. And then it hit me how much I love scrolling through Instagram. I don't know if you do that or not. And it's not just for the memes or the funny reels, because those are amazing as well. But a lot of times you learn things from the internet, and it's amazing. And so I've learned more. There's that people show things, and they use this hashtag called, I was today years old when I found this out. And it's like, why did nobody tell me about this stuff earlier? And so as I was going through, there's one video that caught my eye, which was just amazing. And you're like, yeah, how come no one ever showed me this? And so if you've ever tried to pour liquid from a cup or a big container into a smaller container or a container that has a little nozzle, you know that you spill more outside of that container than you get into the container, right? Have you done that before? And so someone's like, oh, here's the hack. You just take a chopstick or a straw and you put it down the little nozzle of the thing, and then you just take your cup and pour it over that, and the liquid just sticks to that and just goes straight down. And you don't ever spill. And so the person watching this video is like, all right, I've got to try this for myself. And so he does, and he uses like three different cups, and it works, and it's amazing. And he just sits back, and he's like, I went to 4 years of college, and they taught me nothing. I'm learning more from the internet than I ever did in university. And that's not to say that college isn't worth your time. It's not bad to get a degree. But there are so many people out there that have simpler ways to do the practical things in life. And I love learning that stuff. As we come to talk about the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus is getting into that, he's going to have this little pre-teaching about it, which is going to teach us a simpler way to pray, how we should pray. And I love how Jesus just gets into this, because it's just part of his heart and who he is as a man of prayer and wants us to pray as well. And so this is all in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is teaching over several different topics and just kind of reminding people, this is what God expects you to do. This is what living really is, and this is how you do it. And he makes it seem so simple. And so even when we come to prayer, there's a simplicity to it, and there's a right way to do it and possibly a wrong way to do it. And so prayer is this great tool that we have that God has given us to connect with him. Amen. We can go and present our needs to God and our requests. We can share our praises with him. But really, it's this way that God has given us to connect with not only our Savior, but the one who has adopted us into his family, and we call him Father. And so that's what prayer is really all about, and that's what we want to talk about today. Kind of our bottom line for today as we go through this section and put it up on the screen for you is prayer prioritizes and pursues a deepening relationship with God. At the heart of the matter of prayer, it is prioritizing and pursuing a deeper relationship with God. It's not just presenting our needs. Yes, we do that. It's not just praising our God. Yes, we do that. But it's pursuing a deeper relationship with him. And you'll see as we look at our section today that people all around were misusing prayer. They were using it for selfish reasons, to manipulate God, to look superior to other people. And Jesus is going to teach and bring us back to what prayer is really all about and how we can all pray a better way, in a way that connects us deeper with our Lord. And so we're going to read this morning from Matthew chapter 6, just a few verses 5 through 8. And if you would stand with me as we read from God's Word. This is God's word for this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of him. Let's pray together, church. God, I do thank you for prayer. I thank you that you invite us into your presence. And this morning, God, as we look at this topic and we look at what Jesus teaches, help us to see the simplicity in prayer, the necessity in prayer to just come and draw near to you. Lead us through this time, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Just a few verses. There's a lot of great things that Jesus teaches in this. But I want you to see there's a word that Jesus repeats over and over as he says this. Now, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. When you pray, go to your room. When you pray, don't be like the Gentiles. When? Jesus is expecting that prayer is going to be a part of our daily life as a follower of God. It's not if you pray. It's not you might take a chance here or there to pray. When you pray, Jesus kind of expects it. God expects that to be a part of our life. It's kind of like saying, when you eat, or when you breathe, or when you drink your coffee, because these are things that most of us all do every day, right? Some of you are not opening your eyes right now, but that's okay. But when your eyes are open, and so when you pray, it's just Jesus saying, this should be part of your life. This should be a part of everything that you do. When you pray, pray this way, and don't pray that way. What Jesus is really going to be getting at is our hearts. Are we praying for God? And you may or may not be a prayer warrior right now. It might not be taking up a lot of your day, and that's okay. It's that we would grow in it together, church. And that's what Jesus is getting at. When you pray, pray this way. And so we come back to our bottom line, that prayer is concerned with us growing closer with God and deepening that relationship with him. And the best way to do that is through prayer. So when you pray, church, pray this way. And so what does Jesus teach us? The first point I want you to see is this. Start with the right heart. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. I want you to know that even 2,000 years ago, Jesus dealt with annoying social media influencers too. Unless you're a social media influencer, and then you're great. You're fantastic. But Jesus is saying there's people that are out there that are just doing this for attention. They're just praying to be seen. They're not really praying to connect to God. And Jesus uses a word for them. Don't be like the hypocrites, which in the Greek is really what it says, hypokrites. It means don't be a pretender. Or more specifically, that definition for the word is the definition for an actor on stage. Don't pretend to be someone that you're not really. Well, it's just for a stage play, right? But that's not who you are. That might be okay for acting, but when it comes to being a Christ follower, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Be honest and be true and be real. For the hypocrites, they're not praying to connect with God. They're praying to be seen. They're praying to be noticed. They're praying that people would look at them and go, wow, what an amazing person. That person must have their life all together. Look at how they pray. Look at how they're praying in the whole group for everybody to see them and hear them. They're amazing. Those are the hypocrites. And Chuck Smith, the former pastor of Calvary Chapel, was studying and wrote about this. And he talked about the prayer life of a faithful Israelite. And remember, Jesus' primary audience are Israelites. And so the Israelites, they had to pray the Shema twice a day. Once before 9 a.m. and once before 9 p.m. Focusing their day and the beginning and the end of their day on the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. They had to pray that at those two times every day. On top of that, they had 18 memorized prayers, which they eventually added a 19th one to. So they had 19 prayers, and they were called, and forgive me for butchering words that I don't know, Amida. And they had to pray those 19 prayers three times a day. They had to pray them at 9 a.m., they had to pray those 19 prayers at noon, and they had to pray those 19 prayers at 3 p.m. They had to stop what they're doing and pray through those 19 prayers on top of praying the Shema twice. And so what some of the people would do is they would purposely structure their day to be like, well, it's 8:45 right now. I should probably go ahead to Starbucks to get my coffee right now. So when 9 o'clock hits, I can stop everything. Oh, Lord God! And right in the middle, make a scene and make a show and show everybody how religious I am. And so they were purposely finding ways to be seen and being known. And here comes Jesus, and he says, don't be like that. That's not the way that God wants you to pray. Don't make a show of it. Don't make a spectacle. Don't pray to be noticed. Don't pray to be seen. Don't even pray to be appreciated by other people. Just pray. Just draw near to God. And Jesus teaches, don't be like the hypocrites that pray like this because they've already received what they wanted. Attention. But you know what they didn't receive? An answer to their prayers, because they were never seeking God in the first place. They were just seeking things for themselves. James in the New Testament teaches much the same thing when he's talking about prayer. James 4:3, we'll put it up here, but 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. So it's okay to pray to God, but then he says this, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. God's not giving it to you because your heart's not in the right place for that prayer. If we want to pray the right way, we've got to start with the right heart. Amen? And that's what Jesus is getting us to. I grew up in a larger church in Fullerton, and our pastor that was there retired after a while, or he moved on to the Midwest, and we hired a new pastor. And I was a teenager, so it really meant little to me at that point. I was just a high schooler, so who cares who the senior pastor is? And both of them were great men of God. The second man that came in was a great man of prayer as well, and really in tune with the people and their needs, and constantly praying for them. And I can tell you different stories, but one story that I loved is just his desire to connect people to God as well. He would go out to lunch with different people on the staff, and as they sit down, they would order the lunch, and the server would come and bring the food, and he would just stop for a second and say, excuse me, we're about to pray for our meal, not to inconvenience you, but is there anything we can pray for you? And he would just stop and ask them, can I pray for you? Maybe they would give him something to pray for. A lot of people were like, no one's ever asked me that before. it wasn't pretense, and it wasn't to show what a great pastor he is in the neighborhood, just who he is as a man of God and a prayer, and wanting to connect people to God and see them find freedom in the Lord. He's like, hey, how can I pray for you? Then they just prayed at their table. He didn't stand up loud. He didn't grab a megaphone so everybody could hear. He didn't announce, I just asked for this person how I can pray for them. How can I pray for everyone? He just kept it at the table and prayed. Simple. His heart was to connect people to God. For the past couple weeks, we've talked about having the right mind and having God transform our mind and how critical that is to being a Christian and following God. But at the same time, we've got to have the right heart as we follow God and pray to God. And so, where is your heart in prayer? What are the things that you're praying for? It's not bad to pray for our needs. I'm not saying selfish things like that. God invites us to cast our burdens to Him. But do we even have a heart for prayer? And are we concerned about God transforming us as well? And so my challenge for you kind of this week, and we'll come back to it again, is twice a day I want you to find some time to pray and pray through Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why would I pray that? Because, God, I'm often not honest about my own heart. I often think that everything's okay and I don't need to deal with it. And if I want to have the right heart, God, I need you to show me what needs to change. And so, church, I encourage you throughout this week coming up, find a couple times to just sit back and pray, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and then God, lead me in the way everlasting. Moving on, what is Jesus' solution to pretentious public prayers? Prioritize private prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites. They pray that they may be seen. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, when you pray, go into your room and be private. Jesus expects us to pray again. But just have your prayer be between you and God. Let Him work with you in those times. It's interesting that right before the Lord's Prayer, if you look up verses 1 through 4, Jesus talks about giving to the needy. After the Lord's Prayer, He talks about fasting. And in both of those instances, He does it that don't let anybody else know what you're doing. This should just be a regular part of your daily life. It's not for show. It's not for tell. It's not to be noticed. Just do it. Just give to the needy. Just pray. And just fast. And don't let anybody else see it. And certainly Jesus isn't saying, don't pray publicly. There are plenty of public prayers in the Bible. Plenty of times where Israel gathered as a nation and prayed together. Plenty of prayers that happen in the temple and the synagogue. Plenty of times where Jesus prayed with a group of people. Jesus is not saying don't pray publicly, but I think what Jesus is getting at more is let your private prayer life drive your public prayer life. Don't worry about the prayer of how people will notice how you pray and if you're a good enough Christian because you can pray in public. Just start by praying in private. God already knows. He's already there. He wants you to be in that spot. But if we want to grow in our life of prayer, I would say prioritize your private prayer and let that drive your public prayer. Years ago, and I've shared this story before, we had a new neighbor move in, and they did some work on the house, and then they had a party at the house, and they invited me to go to this party. And I was like, oh, okay, you're my new neighbor, okay. And it turns out that his wife had passed away 4 or 5 months ago, and so this party was more of a memorial for her. And I was like, what on earth am I doing here? Like, what an honor, but I don't know you, and I never knew your wife, and it was great. It was just an honor to be invited to that party. So it turns out there was about 80 men in the backyard at that party. 79 of them were Muslim. I'll let you guess which one wasn't. And so we were sitting there, and as the night was going on, and everyone was friendly, and everyone was talking, it wasn't rude, it came time for one of their times of prayer. And so if you don't know, Muslims pray 5 different times during the day. And again, not trying to butcher words, I think it's referred to as Salat. I don't know how to say it, but they stop and pray 5 different times during the day. And one of those times came during this party. And so they all excused themselves to go to a room that the homeowner had prepared for them to go pray privately. They didn't throw their mats down on the ground and start doing everything out in public. They went to a spot privately where they could pray. Church, if we want to grow in our relationship with God, are we praying privately? Are we going into our rooms? Oftentimes, the only times Christians pray is when there's a tragedy or an emergency, over meals, in church, or at small groups. And none of those are bad. It's great that you're praying during those times. But what Jesus is expecting and assuming of us is when we pray, we would go into our room or a room by ourselves and just spend time us with God. When we pray privately. The book of Daniel, was an Israelite, and Israel had been captured and taken into Babylon for their disobedience to God. And so a lot of things have been going on there. And during this time, Daniel had done a bunch of things for the king and interpreted dreams. And because of that, he got raised up to this high status. And all the other leaders didn't like Daniel because he was good. And so they tricked the king into making a law. It said, King, if anyone prays to anyone other than you for 30 days, they should be thrown into the den of lions. And the king's like, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, I like that law. And so they made that law. And the other leaders tricked the king into doing that so they can get rid of Daniel. In Daniel 6:10, we learn this. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Where did Daniel go? to his house, to his room, to pray. There were times where Daniel prayed with his other three friends that were there, but on the normal, three times a day, Daniel would go by himself to pray to God. And nothing was going to change that for him. When you and I pray, church, I pray that we would find times to just go and sit and be with God. Just Him and us. Private prayer. Deepening our relationship with Him. Last thing Jesus teaches us is this. And it's the acronym KISS. Keep it simple, saint. You might know another word, and I'll let you know that other word is a biblical word. It's in the Bible. But we're going to go with keep it simple, saint. And why do I say that? Verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Gentiles believed in repeating phrases endlessly over and over, almost like berating God with the same request. There's nothing wrong with repeating a request to God. This is more in the lines of they had spells and magical chants that they would read off. And like, if you want God to do this, you need to say this. It's kind of like the movie Beetlejuice. If you want Him to show up, you say His name three times. And so that was the idea for them. The more that I say this phrase, then the God that I'm praying to has to answer. And so it was insincere, and it was manipulating God. It was manipulating the God they were trying to get to. I say this, so I know I've said this to God 16 times, but if I say it the 17th time, God will answer it. And so He has to. That's the way that this works. And that's not the way that God operates. Amen. One, Jesus teaches, God already knows what you need before you pray it. Man, that is like a load off. He already knows the things that we're going to pray about. So He's not swayed by repeating things over and over. Even earlier, what I encouraged you to pray Psalm 139 a couple times a day. Well, Pastor, isn't that repeating things over and over? Yeah, but it's repeating things to go, God, my heart is out of whack. I need you to check it and help me because I'm broken. And there's nothing wrong with those type of prayers. We need God to intercede in our lives. Amen? Second, Jesus says, don't use empty phrases or many words. And Gentiles would think that the longer that they prayed, the more God would hear them. I'm like, the longer you pray, the more God probably falls asleep. But they would just keep going and going and talking and talking. Or sometimes they would use big words. And I want to tell you, there's no special words that make your prayer more effective than someone else's prayer. If you use theological terms in your prayer, God is not wooed to answer your prayer over somebody else's. O sovereign Lord, creator of all, in your sovereignty, you saw my hamartiology, which led to soteriology, which brought me into the ecclesiology, which finds itself accumulated in the eschatology. Thank you. I understood what I said. Some of you might understood, but God's not, oh, He's using ology words. Jesus, let's take care of this one right away. Fancy words doesn't make your prayer better. God bless you. God's not moved by that. And second, they would often do things where they would keep repeating the name of that God over and over. And it's, I think of just kind of a used car salesman or a door-to-door salesman. Brian, you know what you really need, Brian? You want to have the best lawn in the neighborhood, don't you, Brian? And I can guarantee you, Brian, that you're going to get this lawn, Brian, if you keep doing this, Brian. I'm like, hey, I know my name. Let's just get to the spiel, right? And sometimes for the Gentiles, they would just keep saying the name of the God over and over and over again. Because if I keep saying their name, then they've got to answer me. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to do that with God. Again, He already knows what you need before you get there. Now, if you say God or you say Jesus 20 times in your prayer, does that mean God's going to turn a deaf ear? No. Pray the way that you pray. But there's no special formula and there's no magic words that's going to make your prayer better than somebody else's. What makes prayer the right and what Jesus is getting at is starting with the right heart. Amen? And doing that. And so that's what God wants. And so when I think of keeping our prayer simple, there are lots of things. One thing I've seen happen in the church, and this is where I think we can grow, not just in our church, but every church is, we often turn prayer requests and prayers into times of gossip and slander. And you're like, what do you mean, Pastor? And I'll give you an example here in a minute. But like, instead of just saying, hey, can we pray for this person? It's like, hey, we need to pray for this person because last night they went out and did this, and like none of their family knew, but it was terrible that they did this, and they wasted this much money. And we go into this 5-minute story, and sometimes all we need is, hey, we need to pray for this person. Why? If you need to find out why, talk to them. I'm not here to tell their story. I'm just here to pray for them. And when we pray for people, we can start praying through their whole story that people might not know, that they might not want people to know. We just need to pray for what they need prayer for specifically. Because God already knows what they need too, amen? We'll get to what I mean in a minute. I've often thought of making a video called Prayer Idol. Like American Idol, but it's Prayer Idol. And you have different Bible characters come up and say their prayers that are found in the Bible. And you can have the judges there, and when someone comes up and gives their big long prayer like Solomon does, and you could have Randy Jackson there like, I don't know, dog, I just wasn't feeling you on that prayer all the way. And I mean, it was good, but that. And then you have just a few people come up with their simple prayers and be like, that's what I'm talking about, dog. You get the gold ticket. You get to go ahead. And again, does God listen to long prayers? Yes. Does he listen to short prayers? Yes. But sometimes I think we can keep our prayers simple. Three cases. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam, the sister of Moses and her husband Aaron, our sister-in-law, they grumble against Moses. And like they complain about his wife. And so because of this, the Lord punishes Miriam by giving her leprosy. And so Moses prays on her behalf, Numbers chapter 12. Oh God, please heal her. Please. 6 words. Not, Lord, I pray for Miriam. God, you know what a blabbermouth she is and how she can just be loose-lipped. And she went and accused me of this and false accusations. And she should have never done that. It shows where her heart really is, God. And you know, and leprosy, God, you know that the long-term effects of leprosy. Lord, please heal her. Please. He didn't go into a long story. He didn't blabber about her. He just got to the point. God, would you heal Miriam? Please. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee who are both praying in the temple. The Pharisee is both boastful in his prayer. God, I think I'm not like this guy over here. His life is terrible. I've got it all together. I'm this and that, whatever. And the tax collector just prays this simple little prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What else does he need to say? God, I'm broken. I need help. He already knows how broken you are. If you want to go into details, you can. But sometimes the simple, this is where I'm at. Luke chapter 23, Jesus is on the cross. And people are hurling insults at him, and they're spitting at him, and they're calling him names, and even the thieves on the cross are jumping in. And Jesus, in that moment of agony, prays to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He didn't give a sermon on what forgiveness is. He just kept it simple. Church, sometimes you might struggle with praying and how do I pray and what do I do, and I don't know the right words to say and I don't know the right formula and I don't know this and that. And I want you to know prayer is just simply talking to God. And when it comes to you talking about your life, you give as much detail as you can or you be as simple as you can. But what I encourage you to do is find time to sit and be with the Lord and grow in your relationship with Him, because that's what prayer is really all about. He already knows your needs. He already takes care of your needs. Prayer is about us connecting with God. And if we want to connect with God, we've got to start with the right heart. We've got to prioritize private prayer to drive our public prayer. And if you don't know where to go or what to do, just keep it simple. Maybe sometimes you're just going to sit there and say nothing and just enjoy God's presence. And those are beautiful times of prayer as well. We were even praying this morning. We've joked in staff meeting. Sometimes we pray and it's like, and we're stumbling over our words and don't know what to say. And my thought was, it's in Romans 8:26, I believe, the Spirit intercedes for us with grumbling when we don't know what to say. God will even pray on our behalf when we don't know the words to use. Sometimes our prayer is just caveman prayer. Ugh. And God knows exactly what that means. And exactly how to take care of that. Because he knows what's going on in your heart and in your head. He knows what you need before you get there. And so as the band comes up and as I wrap this up, my heart and prayer is that we would become people of prayer, driven to this idea of drawing closer and closer to God and building a deeper relationship with Him, praising Him for who He is, sharing our needs with Him, and sometimes just sitting in His presence. Now, my challenge for you, church, I challenged you to pray Psalm 139 a couple times a day throughout the week, and I pray that you would continue to do that. It just keeps us on the right path with God. But I would say this, schedule it. If you don't plan it, you're probably not going to do it, because that's how we operate more often than not. So look at your calendar and look at your day. When are the best times for you to sit down and pray when no one else is around? Maybe you have to wake up a few minutes early. Maybe it's on your drive to work and back home from work, and you just turn the radio off. And there are distractions of amazing drivers out there, but it's just simply praying to God. Maybe it's when the kids are resting, so you can sit down, and maybe it's just 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 minutes. But find a place where you can just sit privately with God and pray to Him. Look at your calendar and schedule it and do it, because God has set up a time to meet with us. After all, He is our Father. Amen. And He desires this time. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank You. You've saved us to have a relationship with You. And the cross, Jesus forgives our sins, but He makes us right with You so that we can spend time with You. So God, I pray that we would take advantage of that. Help us to prioritize prayer in our life, not just for getting our needs met, but so, God, that we can draw closer to You and grow closer to You and have a stronger faith in You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.